Marie Kirpin, I've known for a few years, see her at all the environmental events, and she always has a flock of people around her because she is a consultant and is counseling young people primarily, but maybe not entirely, in how to find, create, transition to a green career. In fact, she is the founder of a consulting business called Green Careers. You're the founder of that. So, Marie, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Betsy, and hi, Kevin.
Hi.
And tell us what got you into this and when you started Green Careers.
Well, I started Green Careers in 2000. I had been working as a career consultant with adults who'd been laid off through an outplacement consulting firm for several years and felt like it was time for a change in my own career and began reading the literature about what was happening with the planet and having had a deep interest in ecology for most of my life, saw that it was an area that I felt I needed to turn my attention to in terms of bringing my work into alignment with those values. And luckily, the kind of work I was doing, career counseling, lent itself beautifully to green careers because I could see that one of the major issues was going to be helping people see how to transition to careers that promote sustainability. So that's been the nature of my work. And actually, I work more with mid-career people rather than college students because there is really no resources for mid-career changers to think this way. And that's been the focus of my work.
I guess because I referred you to younger people, and maybe they found their way to you, maybe not. That's I had that impression, but a misimpression. So thanks for clearing that up. And,
sure.
And I'm happy to hear that. At any age, it's not too late.
Sure.
And I really love what you said about bringing your work into alignment with your values. I think that's what this is really all about, and that's, in fact, what's calling people to seek out work along these lines.
Absolutely. I think a lot of people are recognizing, because the media now is finally focusing more attention on things like global warming, climate change, and people are beginning to realize that it's time to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. But making that transition is not an obvious thing for someone in mid-career, so support is a good thing.
I've told the story a few times about how I turned my pet peeve, which was waste, how much junk mail we get and water people waste and wire hangers that get thrown out instead of taking back to the dry cleaner. Silly little things like that that just drove me nuts that I would kind of complain about to my husband. He said, well, use your job as a newscaster, which you're getting, you know, a little burned out on, and bring, you know, Martha Stewart of garbage to the airwaves. And I never would have dreamed in a million years that that personal distaste for waste would turn into a profession.
Yeah.
And I tell that story to students especially because, you know, they say, you know, follow your passion, the money will follow. And, you know, you might not think of it as a career, but you never know where it's going to take you. But if something really moves you or you really see a problem and it's not being addressed, that means there's a need.
Yes, for sure. And what I call what you and I both did is greening your own career. That is taking what you already know how to do and angling it into a green context.
Because I call that recycling your career.
There you go. Path of least resistance. Yeah. And it's the easiest thing to do. It's the place where you have the most to offer and you can bring some new insight into a new area.
Definitely. And when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Marie Kirpin and Kevin Doyle talking about green careers, how you can make one for yourself and make some money at the same time. You're listening to EcoTalk on Air America Radio. We'd like to hear from you. You can blog us at ecotalkblog.com. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
In the land and we poison the water we drink, and we're the only known creatures in the whole universe with the ability to think. But we keep on thinking, happiness lies in how much we buy and sell, and more and more paradise is lost and only time will tell.
Welcome back to EcoTalk. We are joined today by Marie Kirpin and Kevin Doyle. We're talking about how to green your career. And Marie, you counsel people on sort of how to change directions with as little pain as possible.
Yes, exactly. And I think the place where I spend most of my time with people is assisting them with clarifying the direction that they want to go in and also looking at how they can translate their skills and interests in a way and package themselves for this new direction. So In the choosing the direction piece, what we do is we look at people's skills and their interests. And in the skill category, we really look at motivated skills, because you certainly won't want to be marketing skills that you're not that motivated to use. And that sounds simple, but it's actually a very important distinction. So we look at motivated skills and interests and see how they might come together, and look at what's going on in the world of green careers where they might fit, and come up with two or three alternatives of where a person could fit in. And then from there we go to the one that has the most allure, because my strong feeling is that interest should be the primary driver, not where the most activity is or where your skills are the strongest, but more where is your interest, because ultimately interest is what keeps you jazzed about wanting to go to work in the morning. And I think a lot of people that are considering a transition are really tired of feeling like business as usual is just not very inspiring. So getting the inspiration back into work is an important part of green careers.
Is another important part having to go back to school? How often is that necessary? And are there classes and courses to meet this need? And is it necessary to, you know, struggle along without pay or very little pay for many years?
Well, I don't think it's necessary to go back to school. There are certainly opportunities to go back to school, depending on your area of interest. But most of the people I work with are very highly skilled, and my feeling is that their skills are highly transferable into any of a number of sectors in the emerging green economy. In terms of compensation, the entrepreneurial possibilities are staggering. I mean, we really need to redesign everything from the ground up. And we're a very entrepreneurial culture. So it really engages the creative and innovative talents of people. And I think that, as with all entrepreneurial opportunities, the sky's the limit in terms of income potential. So I think for those that are willing to strike out and start an organization or even join an emerging organization, the prospects are very good for unlimited income.
Glad to hear that. Kevin Doyle, tell us about how the job search for a, quote, green job might be different than traditional jobs.
Yeah, I think that it actually relates to a couple of the things that Murray Carpen said. I thought you were right on the mark, Murray. One of the things that's happening right now in 2005 is that it would be just not true to say that we live in a booming green or sustainable economy. We don't. And so many of the jobs that people will look at, if they're looking for labels on them like green or sustainable or environmentally sound or even the word environment of any kind, they might not see them. In fact, even the employers hiring might not even know they need it. But if you get those positions, if you get those positions in sales or marketing or finance or engineering or science and so forth and management, and you care about these issues, you can make that change within the organization. So I think one of the things that's different in the job search here is that you sometimes have to look for things that they will never want to tell you about because they don't even know themselves that's what their mission is going to become over the course of your career there. So don't worry too much about looking for those job descriptors. Find out what work you want to do and start doing it, even in organizations that might seem that they are not particularly sensitive to environmental concerns.
Well, Kevin, since you do work with more students, do you encourage them to take courses, and how difficult is that where they already are in college to prepare them for this kind of work, or do you encourage them to get a general education, liberal arts or otherwise, and then start refining their education and or skills after college?
We're big fans at the undergraduate level that if you care at all about the idea that you might ever want to do science, and science is a verb, not science as an adjective, you better get a good scientific background starting right away, even at the undergraduate level. But if you know already that, you know, being out there as a field biologist, marine ecologist, or whatever is not where you're headed, then definitely a good liberal arts background with problem solving, good communication skills, and some basic understanding of how the natural world works is how you want to go.
To underscore that, I avoided science pretty passionately, and now, of course, I'm regretting that. So I'm borrowing my daughter, who's in fourth grade, I'm borrowing her science book, which I'm happy to say talks a lot about conservation. Happy to see that.
And I think one of the things about science in general, just to put in a plug, as someone who did geography when all those years ago when I was in school, it's fun. science can be fun.
And, you know, I mean, it's been a while since I learned how photosynthesis works, so we could all use a brush up, right? If I'm going to be talking about the green stuff, should understand how things in that in nature that are green actually work.
Exactly.
So we just have another minute and a half. I'd like people who are listening to know how they can access both of you. Marie Kirpin, do you have a website?
I do. I think the simplest thing is just to Google Green Careers. I also do phone consultation with folks all over the country. About half of my practice is out of state, so I welcome your inquiries.
And, Kevin, before you tell us where people can find your book and your website, you say this is a good time of year in February to be recruiting.
Absolutely. We've got a number of positions that we're recruiting for right now, and we'll have a lot more over these next few weeks. As I mentioned, we put 1,000 people or so in the field every year, and usually about 600 of those people are new. If you want to find out more about any of these things, our website is easy to remember. It's www.eco.org.
And again, the book is called The Eco Guide to Careers That Make a Difference, Environmental Work for a Sustainable World. How hard is it to find this book? Marie says she's been looking for it.
It's easiest to get online at either Amazon.com or any of those places. You can order it directly through our website at eco.org or through Island Press, which is our great publisher. We love those guys, islandpress.org.
And, of course, it's on post-consumer content paper, I hope?
I believe it is.
Okay. Glad to hear that. Got to ask these questions.
Sure.
I want to thank both of you for joining us for what's been a really inspiring hour. It's good to hear some positive news and hear about growth in the green world, because Lord knows we need more people up and coming with lots of passion and preparation. Marie Kirpin, thank you.
Thank you, Betsy. Bye, Kevin.
Kevin Doyle, thanks for joining us, and want to tell all our listeners that we've enjoyed having you aboard. Have a great green week. Stay with us. We'll be back next time with another Great Green Show.